I'm really not that wise. I'm just a redneck. But I am called by God. 2 Timothy, I'm going to preach a series through 2 Timothy, and today is just going to be the introduction of that. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. That's all I'll cover today. And I'm going to read those right now if you want to follow along. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Thank you. I love you guys. Paul is he's addressing Timothy. Now, Timothy, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. George Mueller was a guy who lived in the 1800s, late 1800s. He was a famous Christian. He was known for his Christianity, for his evangelist, and he was praying for these five people that he's praying for. Five ones, right? Five ones. Who's your one? You know. It's going to be a long day. He was praying for them. And after 60-something years of prayer, when he died, two of them still had not received Christ. Are you willing to pray every day for 64 years to see God do a work? Now, he might have seen it, I don't know. After he died, those last two did come to Christ. But prayers, praying for our church, renewal and revival. Pray for that. Pray for renewal and revival. I don't know. I've said this before. We have a good church, but we need a move of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. It's not going to be manufactured. It's not going to be manufactured from up here. It's not going to be manufactured from you. It is only going to come from a work of God. And we've got to have him. A work of God that's going to come through prayer. Praying for your one. Maybe you have two. Maybe you have five. But how long? How long will you pray for them? I like the acronym. I guess that's what you call it, acronym. PUSH. Pray until something happens. PUSH. Pray until something happens. I have breakfast with a couple of men every Wednesday morning. Well, at least one man. And another gentleman showed up, and well, it was Will. Some of you may know him, Will Ferguson. Will Hawthorne. He showed up and he asked me how my sons were doing. And they're all right. You know, I told him, he said, they're on my prayer list. I said, wow. It must have been a long time ago when I asked him to put him on those lists. He said, I pray for him. I pray for him every day. And I know he does. because I know he's up early. He's up early in the morning, in the Word, and in prayer. He talks about it in prayer. How long are you willing to pray? Night and day, Paul says, I thank my God, whom I've served with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in prayers day and night. Day and night. Now, Timothy is considered tenderhearted, unassertive, easily prone to discouragement, and timid. Maybe on the verge of quitting. And here Paul is, type A personality, at the end of his life, in a prison. The end of his life, he's already written. This is the letter that he writes, 4 through 6. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but all to all who love his appearing. Here's Paul on at the end of his life, and he says to Timothy, I want you to stand strong. And he said, I prayed for it. I prayed that you'll stand strong. I prayed for it. There's no telling what that did to Timothy as he heard Paul say those words. He says, I greatly desire to see you that I may be mindful of your tears. Just a reminder of Timothy, of what kind of person Timothy was, that he was tenderhearted, unassertive, discouraged, easily discouraged, and that sort of thing. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it's in you also. He reminded Timothy of his godly heritage. He reminded Timothy that, you know, you were drug up. You were drugged to church every time the doors were open. And he said, but you know what, Timothy? Look, raising your kids in church is no guarantee, right? It's not. Raising kids in church is no guarantee that they're going to turn out good, that they're going to turn out all right, that they're going to turn out to be kids who love and who serve God. But they're a lot more likely to. If you have parents that raised you in a godly home, I'm not just talking about a Christian, a church home, a home that, I'm talking about a godly home. You heard your mother and father pray. You saw your mother and God, mother and father witness for the Lord. That you ought to be thankful, because being a good parent goes a long way. You only have so many years to have any influence on their life. And while it may seem like a long time, you really don't. You really don't. It's really, I'm going to say, we'll say 18, but really you don't have that much time till they're 18. And they live to be how long? 80? 90? Yeah. You really don't have that long. In the grand scheme of things, you need to teach them, or have them taught, make sure they are taught about the most important thing, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is the single most important thing. Man, tells them to stir up the gift of God. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the Holy Spirit, through the laying on of my hands. You have a fire, all right? Fire burns all night. You go to sleep, it burns all night, and it burns down. Maybe it's outside, maybe it's in the fireplace. And the next day when you get up, it just looks like it's ashy. But you get in there and you stir up those ashes, and you find that there's some hot coals in there. And you put some wood on there. You put some fire on there. And you blow on it and you fan it. And whew, before you know it, you've got a flame. You've got a fire. That's what he means when he says stir up. It's fan into flames the grace of God. Fan into flames that gift. The Spirit, he was given to you at your conversion. You can read John 14, 15, 16. That's chapters, by the way. That's three chapters all about the Holy Spirit. And you can read those chapters, and they'll tell you that the Holy Spirit was given to you at your conversion. Friends, let me tell you something. You don't need something extra. You just need to stir it up. You don't need something that you don't already have. You just need to stir it up. Just stir it up. In me, in you. When you catch on fire, we had a seminary professor who used to talk about catching on fire for God, and he would use John the Baptist as an example. He said, you get on fire for God, and people come out to the desert to watch you burn. You fan them in the flames. Fan that fire in the flames. Listen, you know, the Satan might be trying to keep you discouraged. He might be trying to keep... Listen, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. It's not according to you. It's not according to your beliefs. It's God's Word. It's God's truth. Listen to others. This is what other people say. What do other people say about you? And listen to them. Hear what they say. Listen to the words of others. There's two verses in the Bible. Ephesians 4:20. Ephesians 4:20. No. 4:30. Yeah. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. What does that do? That pains him. Another verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench. Do not grieve and do not quench. These are words that go together, but you know, every time the Spirit asks you to do something and you say no, you grieve and you quench him. You've got all of him you need. You've got all of him you need. All you need to do is stir it up. All you need to do is fan it into flames. You have got all of the Spirit you need. You just need to unleash him in your life so that you can follow him. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. I'm going to do this backwards. Not backwards. You'll see what I mean. He's given us a spirit of courage, not of fear. He's given us a spirit of courage. He said, makes you courageous. Courageous to be a Christian. Courageous to live the Christian life. Courageous. It takes courage to be a Christian. Psalm 27:1. You got to slow down on that, putting it up there. No, I'm teasing. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's the courage to be a Christian, the courage to stand up. Timothy didn't have that kind of courage. And the second one, the power. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Of power, the power to cope, the power to stand erect, the power to stay faithful. Anxiety. I tried to talk myself out of saying this because I know that there are a lot of people who suffer from anxiety today. All right? That's not who you are. Anxiety is not who you are. That is not of God, anxiety. It is of the devil. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing, nothing, anxious about nothing, but pray about everything. Everything, if we could begin to pray about everything, I wonder if the anxiety would go away. But what we do is we wait until it comes, and then we try to pray it away. And then we haven't prayed in a long time, and so all of a sudden, we're having to catch up, we're having to learn. Listen, your prayer life is critical to your entire life. And stay faithful. Stay faithful. That anxiety, that ain't you. Love. Give us a spirit of love, a spirit of courage, not giving us a spirit of fear, of power and of love. For people, for the brothers, for lost people. How can I witness to somebody unless I love them? Now, this is a different kind of love than you're thinking about, but it's a love for people. It's not for the timid. Well, it is too, because there was Timothy. There's the Holy Spirit, and there's the answer right there. And of a sound mind, self-discipline keeps us from being swept away, keeps us from running away. A sound mind, self-discipline. It's a mind that's able to control all these thoughts and all these things. That's where it starts, right there. Thoughts. And keep us from running away. Are you like Timothy? If you are, you need to pray. You need to know that someone's praying for you. You need to stir up the gift that's in you so that you can put a smile on, so that you can, Miss Pam, well, I heard you say amen, never mind. Ask her how she's doing, and then ask Billy how she's doing. He'll tell you the truth. We're all like that. Oh, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Pray. Stir up the gift be courage, courageous, power, love, sound mind. Stand up with me, if you would. Listen, I'm like Timothy. Are you? Which part of that do you need? Which part of that do you need? And are you going to trust the Holy Spirit for? If you need to come today for any reason, you come. The altar's open. You can come and kneel and pray. You can get somebody to come with you and kneel and pray. You can come down here to me and we can pray. And if you need to receive Jesus, you can pray with me. Or if you don't want to do it right now, you can call me up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we can pray. We can talk about it. Come. Come. Right now.